Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be, then my Savior in love gave me peace from above, when he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. I was near to despair when he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete, when he reached down his hand for me. My Savior reached down for me. He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. How my heart doth rejoice when I hear his sweet voice, and the tempest to him I can flee. There to lean on his arm, safe, secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. I was lost Son, when he reached down his hand for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the old timers used to say that'll kind of get in your crank. Amen. And I just know it blesses my heart, because it's a reality to me. I realize the Lord reached down for me. I think another songwriter said he reached further down than I could reach up. You know, no man seeketh after God. We hear a lot of people talking about finding Jesus, and we know what they mean for the most part. I mean, I might have made that statement myself a few times after I got saved, not realizing that the Bible says that no man seeketh after God. Man's not looking for God. Man's looking for God about like a thief's looking for a police officer. Right? That doesn't happen too often. And so man's not looking for God. But I'm glad God's searching for man.
Amen.
And it goes all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they didn't go to find God, tell him they messed up. They ran from God. That's what sin will do. It'll cause you to run and hide and be afraid. But I'm glad in spite of all of that, God sought them out. He sought them out. And he dealt with them on the premise of their sin. And he brought them to a place of confession and admission of their sin. And then he could deal with them on the basis of their sin and He clothed them in His righteousness. And I'm thankful to God for that, aren't you?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me mention a word just about your giving. I pray that you would give to help us pay off the mortgage of the building. There's white envelopes out there. If you want to give toward that, you just put whatever you're giving and on that white envelope, or put it in the memo of your check as you give, and let's get the mortgage paid off. You pray and ask God what He would have you to do. Another word I'd like to say is we have some visitors with us tonight. We have, maybe a half a dozen visitors with us tonight. Well, wait a minute. Got to be more than a half a dozen. There's a half a dozen of the Birkinshaws here. Amen? So let's see. We got maybe a dozen then. Let me say that. About a dozen visitors with us tonight. And I want to encourage you, if you're visiting with us, come be with us in our Christmas dinner. We have our dinner catered to us by a family that's just good, solid folks, good Christian people, and they're hard workers, they're professing Christians. They're Mennonites, but you know, they're going to be a few Mennonites in heaven if they're saved by grace. Amen. All people saved by grace is going to heaven. And you say, well, you know, they believe in that work salvation. Well, some of them might. Some of them might be a little confused. Maybe they trusted Christ by faith. You never know. They might even be some country people in heaven. Isn't that what Dr. Hudson used to say? Dr. Curtis Hudson said, you never know. We might get to heaven, a few country people make it there. So just be careful. Well, what was that? Amen, brother. I do too. If not, I know a vast majority of congregation of this people is not going to make it. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. But Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say that when he would go to the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. Sometimes, you know, highfalutin folks who thought they were maybe a little cut above, and he would always bring them right back down to earth when he would just say, well, you never know, they might be a few country people in heaven. I think we need to be reminded of that from time to time. Some folks think they get saved, they get a little education. You know, if you're not careful, you think you're better than someone else. And better than there's none of us. We our righteousness is a filthy rags.
Amen.
Listen, if God left us where He found us, we'd still be wallowing in the pig slop. You understand that, don't you? Sure you do. Now, speaking of pig slop, let me get back to the dinner. That's not a good lead into there. We don't specialize. My family doesn't specialize in leading into things. We just kind of cut from this and go into it. But on the Christmas dinner, I want to encourage you that folks put together a tremendous meal, good menu. This year, we're looking at having another good turnout. I want our visitors to feel welcome to come. You say, well, you know, I'm a visitor here, and I just don't know. Well, just come and fellowship with us and enjoy that time together. You'll get to hear from our evangelist. Dwayne Moore is going to give the devotion that night. Everything we do here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we break open the Word of Life. And no matter what we do, listen, if our children get together, we break open the Word of God. If we get together as a group of men, yesterday the ladies got together, and Sister Putt broke open the Word of God. Because we believe that the Word of God is what's primary. It's what's important. And so you come, be a part of that. You're welcome to come. You're more than welcome. We want ask you to sign up before you leave here tonight, okay, so that we can get a count of you being here. Well, I've been looking over some of my notes. I prayed when I got home, and I had another message that I'd been studying, and God said, no, I want you to give some thoughts on this that I wasn't able to get to today, and some other thoughts as I thought about this. I want to talk to you about the Antichrist tonight. And I realize when you begin to think about Christmas and you begin to think about the coming of the Lord Jesus, maybe the Antichrist is the last thing on your mind. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. It's coming. He's coming. He is. Now, Jesus is coming. But because Jesus is coming, we have the Word of God to tell us that the Antichrist is coming too. Now, He's very real. So I want you to give me your undivided attention tonight. Now, you normally do. But I want you to sit up straight, and I want you to open up your Bible, and I want you to listen very carefully. This person is very real. He is the devil incarnate. You see, everything that God does, the devil tries to mimic. Everything God does, the devil's tried to mimic. Right on down to the Holy Trinity, there's an unholy Trinity, the beast, the false prophet, and Let's see, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Well, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and each one of them line up with the Holy Trinity. There's the unholy Trinity. And here in this scripture, as we looked at this morning, I want to go back and just kind of lead up to being deceived. There's going to be a lot of people deceived. And I'm not saying that you're among them. Okay, I'm not. If you're saved, you're leaving here in the rapture of the church. You're not going to be here in the tribulation period. Now, the Word of God teaches me this, and we don't even have to get out of Thessalonians to see that teaching. If you would, just for a second, turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number... Well, let's look at chapter 1 first. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Notice what the Scripture says here in verse number 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You say, well, that's talking about, you know, being saved from hell. Well, that's very possible. But I think it's talking about also being saved from the wrath of God that's going to come upon this earth in the tribulation period. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a time that come upon this earth that Jesus said, a time like never has been. And that's going to be the tribulation period. It's going to be a terrible time. And it's going to get so intense that Jesus chose to separate the tribulation period from the great tribulation period. Now, each section of the tribulation of the great tribulation, has 1,260 days. You find that in your study of the book of the Revelation. Those 1,260 days constitute 3.5 years. The tribulation period will be a 7-year period upon this earth. And it's coming. Now, the tribulation period is coming to this earth primarily to purge the Jews. They cried, His blood be upon us and our children when Jesus was being crucified. Well, they're going to have to answer for that. They have. And they're going to continue. And it's going to consummate in a time of great tribulation. And it's very real. It's very real. Sometimes you read these things and you hear these things and it just sounds surreal. It just sounds like, how can this be? But brethren, it's so. Now, if you'll take your Bible and turn, if you would, to... Well, we'll just go on and look at verse number 3 of chapter 5. I'd ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn there if you would. Paul, in chapter 5, he talked about the times and the seasons in verse number 1. And he said, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now look at verse number 3. For when they, I want you to highlight that. It's very important. For when they, and I want to commend Pastor Brandon for teaching the Bible. I commend every Sunday school teacher here for teaching the Word of God. I had one of his students tell me I was able to use some teaching from the Sunday school class to share with someone on why it's important to own a King James Bible. I said, that's good. Amen. Talked about the importance of the singular and the plural usages of they or thou and thee. And I think it's good. You say, well, you know, those thous and these don't mean anything. They mean everything. Now listen to me. They're in God's Word. It means a lot. Notice what he says here. Look at it in verse number 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. All right? Now this world is clamoring for peace. This world is crying for peace. Peace at any cost. Compromise. Drop your standard. They're trying to get us as Christians, as believers. Well, you know, don't be so difficult. Just drop your beliefs and join in with let's just have a big ecumenical shakeup and all join together. You'd be amazed at how many calls I get personally and that are on Fellowship Baptist Church answering service right here at the church dance machine for the pastor to come and be a part of a big ecumenical thing here in Madison or Culpeper. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Why? Well, the only way I'd be a part of it is to let me speak, and I don't think they're going to allow that. So I can tell them, listen, I'm serious. Don't you join up with that stuff. Don't you join up with that stuff. Everybody's saying, well, you know, let's just all get along. Peace, they say, at any cost. What did Paul say right here in verse number 3? He said they're going to say peace and safety, but then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. He said in verse number 4, but ye brethren, see, you're different. It's not about you. We're going to be gone from here. Amen. We're going to be taken out of here. We're children of the light. We're going to go out in the rapture. And he dealt with that in chapter number 4. You get over to chapter number 1. We talked about that this morning. I want to share a thought with you before we get into chapter 2 that God laid on my heart this afternoon. We were talking about, and there's some folks, perhaps there's someone sitting here tonight, and I don't know, and I just feel like the Lord would have me to do this. Now, don't get nervous. Some of you are looking at me with a hymn book thinking the preacher's going to sing. You know how I said that'll never happen with the ecumenical movement? You're not going to hear me sing. Not a solo. I'll sing. I love to sing. I love to sing. I believe when people get saved, they love to sing. Amen. We've got a song to sing. Everybody say amen with me. Oh, no, preacher, I don't like that singing. Something broke in your soul. There's something not right if you don't have a song. God put a song in my heart, even praise upon my lips unto the Lord. And so if you don't like to sing, there's something wrong. Amen. Get in your shower and bellow out. Amen. Riding down the road in your vehicle, bellow it out. Amen. Sing unto the Lord. Here, and we talked about this morning about eternal salvation. And I want to talk to you about that. There may be somebody sitting here tonight. Now I want you to listen very carefully to me. And you have believed the lie of the devil. Paul, if we talked about this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7, said, listen, I want you who are troubled to rest. And there may be somebody here that's troubled. Maybe a child. Maybe an adult. Maybe a member. Maybe a visitor. I don't know. And you're troubled because you think, oh, you know, I just feel like that maybe I'm no longer saved. I don't feel like I'm in the fold anymore. Maybe I've seen my day of grace away. Or maybe I've fallen from grace and I'm not saved. Hey, can I tell you, listen to the Word of God. The Word of God says that you have eternal life. You're not going to get it. You have it. Now listen to me. You get eternal life when you get saved. Mark down the day you got saved. That's the day you, listen, that's the day you settled. You're going to live forever with Jesus. Whatever day that is, whatever day you got saved, that's the day you decided that you're going to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Now see, some folks think, well, you know, when I die, I'm going to get eternal life. No, you get eternal life the moment you accept Christ as your personal Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you get eternal life the moment you receive the gift, who Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That is the salvation of Jesus Christ. So the moment you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you received eternal life. You're going to live forever. But now maybe the devil's come to you and said, oh no, you've lost it. You've sinned. Your day of grace away. Or you've fallen from grace. No, you're saved. I'm going to tell you something. As saved individuals, we don't lose our salvation. You can't lose your kinship now, but you can sure lose your fellowship. And when we get out of fellowship with God and when we go against what God said to do, when we break God's commandments and we disobey the Lord, God will chasten you. God will chasten us. God chastens His children now. Right? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You ever got a whipping from God? You say, I don't know. You haven't. You didn't get it. You ever get a whipping from God, you'll know it. You ever had grandma give you a whipping? I'm not talking about one of these patty cakes where they spank you on the diaper. I'm talking about where they drop the cloth and put the hickory tea to you. Somebody say amen with me. A bunch of you said amen. So you did get a spanking from grandma. Amen. Amen. Nobody ever have to ask you, you know, now, did grandma spank you? Oh, listen, you'll never say, oh, I don't know. I can't remember if grandma ever spanked me. I can remember almost maybe every whipping my grandmother gave me. I bet you can remember a lot of them too. Grandmas don't play. Amen. At least those that come from my generation didn't play. How about you, brethren? When God chastens you, you won't forget it either. You won't have to say, well, I don't know. Oh, you'll know. So I want you to know something. If you're saved, you're saved eternally. The Word of God teaches that. And I thought about this scripture. Look at it here in verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Some people are so anxious, they're afraid. I've lost it. I've lost it, preacher. I'm not saved anymore. When if you're saved, you're just as saved now as you were the day you got saved. Amen. Look at verse number 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe. I like that. Listen to what the songwriter, and this is something that God brought to my heart today when I was just laying back and just reflecting on some things. God brought this song to my heart. I love this song. I wish I could sing. I'd sing it to you. I would. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he had said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Listen, God's then put it right here in this book. If you're saved, you're saved eternally. Amen. Over and over and over again, God says when you get saved, what more can he say? God's laid it out here. Listen to this. This is the final verse. This is my favorite. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That so, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Aren't you glad that God never leaves us nor forsakes us? I'm so thankful for that. You're saved. You're saved forever. And so that's why he said you need not be disturbed. These things that are happening in our world today, brethren, they're just passing matter. One day it's all going to be history. It's going to be done. Jesus is coming back. But now he said, not only you need not be disturbed, but I want to concentrate a little more and talk to you about this man that is coming to deceive. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work in our world today. You realize that? There are so many people being turned aside. The spirit of apostasy is in many, many churches. Many, many people no longer preach the Bible. People just meet. I see these little houses of worship and the legacy and this and that popping up everywhere. These little places where people just meet and have social meeting, maybe read a few supposed scriptures out of some watered down translation. Brethren, that's not church. That's not church. That's doing great harm to the cause of Christ. Where people go and they feel, well, you know, I'm okay. Now, you're not okay if you haven't repented of your sin and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You're not okay if you're not in the Word of God, getting instruction from the Word of God, the man of God, and living in accordance to the law of God. Amen. Amen. He said here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? Notice, if you would, the latter part of verse number 2, the day of Christ is at hand. What happened, preacher? Well, someone had forged a letter from the Apostle Paul, hadn't it? Look what he said. Or as from a letter from us. And they had said, well, you're in the tribulation period. Jesus has done come, and you're in the tribulation period, and your loved ones that have gone on, you're not going to see them anymore. And that's why he wrote what he did in chapter number 4 and 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And here he sends back in this second letter, and he's saying, listen, Jesus is coming, and he's going to gather us together unto himself, brethren. And he said, the day of Christ is not at hand. The tribulation period has not come. It cannot come until we are taken out of here. Amen. And he said, now don't let no man deceive you by any means. That day, the tribulation period, that day, the wrath of God shall not come except there come a falling away first. We're living in that day. We're living in a day of a great falling away. There's very few people that will preach the Bible anymore. And I mean by a percentage. And there's very few people that even want to hear the Bible preached. Some people don't want to hear Bible preaching. They don't. They want to go to church and have a religious experience, have a social club, but they don't want to hear any Bible preaching. Thank God for people who preach the Bible. And thank God for people who want to hear Bible preaching. Amen? Amen. And so he said here, there's going to come a falling away. Now watch this next phrase. And that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. What's Paul alerting us to? He's saying there's going to be, notice that word that he uses there, that man of sin shall be revealed. There's going to be an unveiling. You see, I personally believe that this man's alive today. I could not believe Jesus could come today if I didn't believe this man was alive today. If you'll think it through, if you really believe that Jesus Christ could come today, you have to believe that this man right here is alive. And he's just waiting in the wing to be revealed or unveiled into a world that is clamoring for peace and safety. A leader. And it calls him the man of sin. The man who just makes light of sin. The man who imposes sin. The man who does away with justice. The man who takes the teeth out of the law and just numbs everything down. That man. That's what the world's searching for, isn't it? Well, I tell you, it's almost unbelievable. The quote-unquote justice system in our country, in our world today. It's almost unbelievable. People go out and in cold blood murder people. And you hear they got 20 years. But they got off 8.5 years for good behavior. Took an innocent person's life. Something wrong with that, brother. I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Sin is just taking over. The only thing that's holding sin back, if you'll look here in verse number 4, we're going to get back to this man of sin, the son of perdition in a moment. But he said, this person opposeth. That means he's against. That's where the word anti comes from. It's somebody that's against. He opposeth God. Anybody that opposes God, they're of the devil. Now you mark that down. They're of the devil. Opposeth God and exalteth himself. That's instead of. This has been the devil's, listen, this has been his work from the very beginning. You go back to Isaiah 14, he said, I will ascend, right? I will. It's going to be about me. Pride. The devil. Here it is. He opposeth and he exalteth himself above all that is called God. Look at it, verse 4. Or that is worship. Why? He wants God's worship. He wants to be worshiped. You beware of a person who will accept praise. Praise ought to be deferred. That's right. The scripture says here that he's exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, though that he as God sitteth in the temple. You see that phrase right there? This phrase is a phrase that when you study the whole picture of the second coming of Jesus, this is where the great tribulation is going to begin. The temple is going to be rebuilt. It's not a matter if, it's just when. It's going to be rebuilt, brethren. There are Jewish rabbis right now. There are Jewish rabbis who already they're collecting all the materials. The temple's going to be rebuilt. And this man of sin is going to show himself to be as God, as Christ. And he is going to imitate the second coming of Jesus Christ and say, I am he. I am. He's going to receive the worship of many. Of many. This man is going to have such an influence. If you would, drop down just for a moment. It says in verse number 4, the last part of that verse, that he's showing himself that he is God. Paul said, you remember when I told you that, when I was with you? And then he said, I'm going to tell you the only reason this hadn't already happened. Look at what it says in verse number 6. He said, because that you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. This man's waiting in the wings, ready to step out on the scene, but there's something that's holding back the man of sin, the mystery of iniquity. And the Bible says it's a what? It's the church. It's the church. But the Bible also says in verse number 7 that it's a he. You see that word withholdeth, it means hold back. Look at the word let and letteth in verse number 7. It means restraineth. I want to give you something to help you. You're going to talk to somebody who's going to say, well, one day the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of here and he'll no longer be in the earth. Well, the Bible nowhere teaches that. Notice, if you would, what the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 7. It says, only he, meaning the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, which means restraineth, will restrain until he be taken, not out of the world, out of the way. His restraining ministry is going to be done. You see, That's what Jesus meant. One of the things he meant when he said, as the days of Noah were. If you go back to Genesis 3 sometime, you'll find where God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Not always going to pull and call and woo man to be saved and hold back iniquity. He said, one day it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Now, what's going to happen? Well, God took Noah out, didn't he? He did. He set him apart. God's going to take us out, and we're going out with him. Amen. We're going to go out. The Holy Spirit, that withdrawing, that restraining power is going to go out with us. The Holy Spirit will still be here, but he's no longer going to be in the restraining work. You see, we're the salt. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, ye are the salt of the world. You're the light of the world. He said, you're the salt of the earth. That's us. Salt, it preserves, it keeps corruption out. But one day we're going to be removed. And Jesus said, this world is going to be like it's never been in the history of man. Brethren, this is going to happen. See, this is the rest of the story. People get all caught up in all of this stuff, and they think, oh, it's this, and it's great, and it's wonderful. They do not know who Jesus is. Listen, Jesus is not some long-haired Hollywood movie star. He's the Son of the living God. Jesus is not some rock star that boogie-woogie and shakes around. People up singing and doing that gyrating stuff in the name of Jesus. You worship Jesus in the beauty of holiness. Yet the world has a Jesus. Even in the day of the Apostle Paul, he said there's another Jesus. There's another gospel that's not real. And this man has always, listen, look what he said now. Look if you would in verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity. I thought that was very interesting. Doth already work. It's already going to work. Already deceiving in the days of Paul. You know what Paul called the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? The mystery of godliness. Isn't that what he said? He said the mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh. Well, this is the mystery of iniquity. Who is this man? He's Satan incarnate. I want to show you some scripture. This man, if you'll notice in verse number 9, is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do people perish? You know, there's people who say, well, you know, you smoke. Smoke dope, you're going to hell. The Bible nowhere says you go to hell for smoking dope. I'm not for smoking dope, by the way. Amen. There's one reason that people go to hell. Now you listen to me. Rejecting Jesus Christ. Now I'm not in any way, I am not saying that if you're saved, that you just have a license to sin. If you're saved, you ought to live your life to please Jesus Christ. But here the Bible makes it very clear in verse number 10 that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, and here's why they perish, look at it now, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why. So, well, you know, preacher, I got married and divorced and I'm remarried, and I had a preacher tell me I couldn't go to heaven. Well, I hope he gave you some scripture for that. You didn't believe that, did you? I'm not for divorce. Why aren't you for divorce, preacher? Because God's not for divorce. And we've got some folks that I speak to here this evening that's been divorced, and they'd stand up here if I allowed them to and tell you, listen to the preacher now, young folks. You don't want to get into that kind of situation. It's a lot of hardship. So I'm not throwing stones at people who have been divorced at all. I'm telling you that God hates putting away. You stick to your marriage. Amen. Amen. Hang in there. You say, well, preacher, it's tough. Life is tough. Marriage is tough. Relationships are hard. But you stick with God and you hang in there and you do what's right by this book and God will honor it. Now, he said this is coming. Now, suppose there's somebody here tonight that just showed up at Fellowship Baptist Church and you say, well, you know, I kind of halfway believe the Bible and I kind of think that, You know, my grandma, she read some scripture to me, and I believe this thing that Jesus is coming back, and I believe that there's going to be an Antichrist, and I believe there's going to be a mark 666 on the right hand and in the forehead. I believe all of that, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until this begins to go into full swing, and then I'm going to trust Jesus at the last moment. Well, let me tell you what God said about that. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. And you may not like this, but it won't be the first thing you read in the Bible you won't like. I'll go ahead and tell you that. The Bible's truth. But that doesn't mean that we like it. God has told me some things I didn't like. How about you? It says in verse number 11, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." God's going to do that. God's going to send that. "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So he said, now don't be deceived. There's a high price to pay for being deceived. Now what about this man? Who is this man? You know, from the time I got saved and started studying little prophecy until this day, I have heard people say, well, the Antichrist, I've heard people say, well, it's going to be Nero, preacher. He says, it's going to be Nero. Some people say, well, it's the Roman Empire. Well, it was Mussolini. No, Hitler. Hitler's coming back. And all of these things people come up with. Let's look and see what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to give you something. How many of you, years ago, I heard Dr. Oliver B. Green. And how many of you know who Dr. Oliver Green? Dr. Oliver B. Green, great man of God. And just a down-to-earth man of God. And I loved to hear his ministry when I was a young Christian, a young preacher. Greatly influenced my life. And I was able to visit his station, his home. I never met him personally. He went on to heaven before I got saved and was able to meet him. But I did meet his wife, Mrs. Green, and I was able to go to his radio station there, the Gospel Hour, right there in the basement of his home. And what a real man of God, and I appreciate him. He made a statement one time on his radio broadcast that kind of got my attention. I want to share some things with you about it as I've studied in the Bible. He said, Judas Iscariot is the Antichrist. And I said, what? What in the world? Judas Iscariot is the Antichrist? And I dismissed it. I just dismissed it. Until I began studying some prophecy. And so I want to give you something tonight. I want you to listen very carefully to me. Okay? Now, notice what the Bible says here. And I want to go ahead and say this. I'm not saying that Judas Iscariot is the Antichrist, but I want you to decide. You say, it doesn't matter who he is. Well, I think it does. I think it matters not only that he's coming, I think it matters who he is. Because I think we can learn some things about what to watch for. Like this. You think the Antichrist could fool you? Folks, let me tell you something. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. People that are being fooled don't know they're being fooled. And there's people sitting in their churches that somebody can stand up and say, boy, I tell you, these people are deceiving people. Amen. They're being deceived. And they're shouting amen the whole time they're being deceived. You think that group of 900 followers of Jim Jones thought they were being deceived? Right up until the time they drank the Kool-Aid? You know, that's where that saying come from. Drinking the Kool-Aid. It was laced. How many of you remember Jim Jones, Guyana? It's real. This is real. And don't you think that spirit is not at work in our day to day? Notice what the Bible says about this man. That man of sin. Anybody, any preacher that tells you it's okay to sin, that it's not that important how you live, just try to do right. Do your best, they say. Well, you know, we all can't do everything God said. And they make excuses for sin. You mark this down. The spirit of Antichrist is in their life, not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God calls for commitment, for holy living, for exalting the name of Jesus Christ. And so if you have this mindset That it doesn't really matter how you live, and that God just kind of excuses your sin. You've been deceived. The man of sin. Notice what else it said about the man of sin in verse number 3. The son of perdition. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What does that mean? I want you to turn to some scripture with me, and then I'll be through. The son of perdition. I want you to, first of all, underline that three-letter word, T-H-E. The son of perdition. Not a son of perdition. What does perdition mean? It means destruction. It means total destruction, body, soul, and spirit. I'll give you a proof text that's found in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews just for a moment in chapter number 10. Are you there? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, you got to follow me, all right? We're going to talk about the Antichrist. Jesus came the first time. Right? Listen to me now. Listen, everybody listen to me. This means yes. This means no. Did Jesus Christ come the first time? Yes. Now, if this man is going to come back when Jesus comes, and he's the Antichrist, and he mimics everything that God does, when did he come the first time? Is the Antichrist going to mimic the resurrection of Jesus Christ? This means yes, and this means no. Study the book of the Revelation. He's going to be wounded with a deadly wound, and then he's going to come back. Is that what the Bible teaches? Revelation 13. We can turn there. All right? It's there, brethren. It's in the book. He mimics everything that Christ does. He's going to set himself up in the temple. He's going to be worshipped. He's going to make himself as if he is God. Isn't that what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2:4? Yes. Yes. Jesus is God. He came as God. The Antichrist is going to come and show himself to be God, and he's going to mimic the work of Jesus Christ. Notice this. Hebrews chapter 10. Look, if you would, just for a moment. Look in verse number 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto, and there's our word. Are you there? Perdition. The word means destruction. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Turn over, if you would, just for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we have that word used again. And I think it's very interesting in the place that it's used and the way that it is used. 1 Peter chapter number 3. It is 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 7. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said there's going to be those who come and they're walking after their own lust, and they're going to scoff, and they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? And you know that section of scripture. And then he talks about how the flood came. All right? Then in verse number 7, he says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Destruction. This is the son of perdition, the son of destruction. All right? Now, I searched the scriptures. Perhaps you will do it when you get home tonight or one day next week. I can only find one other place in all the Bible somebody's called this. And I want you to turn there. John 17. In John chapter 17, Jesus recorded his high priestly prayer. Now, while you're turning to John 17, I want you to know something about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That is a model prayer that the Lord gave unto his disciples when they approached him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, even also as John taught his disciples to pray. And so when they went to him, they did not say, Lord, teach us a prayer. And so when people recite that prayer in repetition, vainly, that is not pleasing to the Lord. And there are many, many of these government institutions that try to include just a touch of religion, that have everybody to hold hands or lock arms, close their eyes, and say the Lord's Prayer. Like that's praying to God. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that if you memorize the Lord's Prayer, if you say the Lord's Prayer, but if it's just some repeating something that means nothing to you, that it's not from your heart, it's vain. The prayer of Jesus is found in John 17. Matthew 6 and 11 and Luke 11 is not the prayer of the Lord. Now listen to me. It's a model prayer where Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, not a prayer. This is the prayer of Jesus. Matthew 17, are you there? John. I hope you stuck with John and not Matthew. Matthew 17, look what the Bible says. Matthew 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, and he began to pray. He began to pray all the way through. It's his high priestly prayer. When he's praying, you know what he says? Look at verse number 12. While I was with them in the world, well, I'll go back to verse number 11. He said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Now listen to me. Jesus said right here, I've never lost one. Jesus never does lose them. Save, he said, I've never lost one. None of them is lost, but here's our phrase. The son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You say, well, that's a coincidence. Maybe. Might be. You know, Jesus could have called Judas about anything. He chose to right there. But for some reason, he chose that phrase, the son of perdition. I want to show you something in Acts. Turn there if you would. Well, let's go to another. Go back to John, since we're in John. Go to John just for a moment to chapter 13. Are you there, John 13? Look in John 13 in verse number 27. I think this is very interesting. In John 13 in verse number 27, something happened in Judas's life. You remember what it was? It's very important. Satan entered into him. Not a devil. The Bible didn't say a devil entered into him. The devil. Now I hear people say all the time, well, the devil's been on me all day. I think I know what they mean. I think I've said that before. There are a lot of devils, but there's only one, Satan. All right? Satan gets on you, you'll know it. A lot of devils, they carry out the work and the ministry of Satan. You say, Satan has a ministry? He sure does. The Bible teaches that he has ministers of unrighteousness. This is reality. You say, preacher, my home is just falling apart. Sounds like you've got some devils around your house. Man, I stay tensed up all the time. I feel like I just stay mad all the time. Sounds like the devils have found their way to your address. I just lash out at people and say unkind and unclean words. Sounds like the devil's found his way to you. That's not normal behavior for a child of God. The devil oppresses us and the devil tempts us and the devil comes and he tries to tempt us to do and say the most wicked things. In John chapter number 13 and verse number 27, the Last Supper, The Bible says, and after the sop, John 13, verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Judas. Satan entered into him. If you'll go back to John chapter number 6 just for a moment, you'll find where Jesus made this statement in John chapter 6 about Judas. John chapter 6. Look at verse number 70. John chapter 6 and verse number 70, Jesus said, you know, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Well, you know, preacher, said a devil, not the devil. Yeah, I know. I think a devil kept him at bay until he opened himself up for Satan to enter in and do the work of Satan. That's what's going to happen to the Antichrist. Whether you believe that Judas is going to be, there's going to be a second coming of Judas or not, that doesn't, listen, whatever you believe, whatever. This man is coming. And a man that is full of Satan has already walked this earth. He was right here. The Bible says Satan entered into him. The devil incarnate has already been here. You understand that, right? Please listen to me. So don't you leave here thinking, oh man, that stuff sounds like far-fetched. The devil in a human form? Well, I mean, John chapter 13 said that Satan entered into Judas. So you tell me. Amen. So don't think that this some far-fetched, you know, stuff that's outdated and antiquated. No, it's just as much up to date. Like one man said, the Bible's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Amen. It's real. I want to show you one more thing and then we'll close with a final thought. But I want to show you Acts chapter 1. Now, I find it very interesting. See, I think the devil's a coward. You say, oh, preacher, he's coming after you. Well, I want to serve notice on the devil, and I want to help you here too, okay? Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I'm not trying to fight the devil. I'm not trying to pick a fight with him. Amen. I'm not. But I'm not going to cower down. I'm going to tell the truth on him. You understand that, right? It's our place to tell the truth on the devil. Amen. He's a coward. Somebody just speak out and tell me how Judas took his life. Hung himself. Suicide. Right? Is that what happened, brethren? Sure. Acts chapter number 1, we have a little bit of a history on that. What happened when Judas hanged himself? Well, the Bible says in verse number 25 that when they were looking for a man to take his part in the ministry of apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go, and watch this next phrase, to his own place. Now wait a minute. According to Matthew 26:41, the devil was prepared for the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now there's no man that's ever gone to hell that could say, this is my place. Not my place. Right? Listen, any man that goes to hell, now listen to me. Any human being that goes to hell is an intruder. Because the devil, listen to me now, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not man. And yet when man rejects Christ, that's where he's going. This means yes, and this means no. I'm not trying to sell you or convince you of anything. I'm telling you that the Bible says that Judas went to his own place. His own place. You say, well, maybe that's a misprint. There are none of those in the Bible. So now you have this man who's the son of perdition. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, we'll be going through the Christian life and we'll be locked up with people and we'll think, man, that person's this and that person's that, and Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Wonderful. That's why we have a lot of man worship. I am opposed to man worship. I think it has done great harm to the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. These celebrity preachers and these people that are standing up wanting everybody to stand up and clap for them and laud them and applaud them. I say phooey. That's Greek for baloney, which is Latin for I don't care for it. Amen. Here's a man. When Jesus sent them out, how did he send them out? Two by two. History tells us that our man here, Judas, was hooked up with Matthew. Now, I don't know if he was or not, but I kind of believe Josephus when he said he was. Why, preacher? Matthew was a tax collector. He knew a lot about money. I think Judas was very interested in money. What about you? I know he kept his eye on the purse, didn't he? Come on now. Huh? You start letting money. By the way, I could go into some things. I'll just get you to write down 1 Timothy. That word perdition, when it's talking about riches in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 and 10, we find a word again. Money will destroy you. Now listen to me, brethren. It'll destroy this man. Went out. I don't know that the disciples ever knew that this man was full of the devil. Remember when he sopped me, he said, the man that sops with me tonight is the man that will betray me. And they all said, Is it I? They didn't say, this is no brainer, it's him. That man's full of the devil. Right? Right, brethren? They didn't know. This man persuaded them. I challenge you. There are times in the Scripture when Judas was influencing the other disciples to go against the teachings of Christ. Did you know that's in the Bible? Remember when that woman came and she broke the alabaster box and she began? And the Bible says at first, it says that all the disciples were saying, hey, that money could have been, that could have been sold and used. And of course, if he had been a Baptist, he said, and given to missions. Right? Is that what happened? Amen. He was influencing them. It's got to be about the money. It's got to be about the money. What's that have to do with the second coming of Christ and the Antichrist? Deceit. Being deceived. You better stay in your Bible. Read your Bible. Know what God has said. Oh, preacher, we trust you. We trust this preacher. We trust that preacher. We trust that ministry. We trust that church. Trust God. Amen. Read your Bible. Know what God has said. Don't ever come here without your Bible. I said that this morning. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to close. Listen. This. Open it up and follow. Teach your children to open up their Bible and follow. Talk to your children. What did you learn in Sunday school today? Amen. Amen. When people get lax, when people back off, the devil slips in. I feel like I have to do this now because I've taken you this far. All right? When the Bible says that Judas went to his own place, I don't believe that was hell. The Bible teaches in the book of, if you'll turn, and this will be something that I hope you'll go home and study. Turn to Revelation just for a moment in chapter 13. We have this scripture that talks about the beast. We'll just go to chapter 17, the beast and the false prophet. So, this man's coming back. The Antichrist is going to step on the scene. I believe that, who knows, he may be alive now. And I've seen people, listen, this is Hollywood stuff. This is Hollywood. Where somebody gave birth to the devil. That's Hollywood. Set aside Hollywood for a moment and see what God says. Now, the Bible doesn't say that this person is going to be born, that of a virgin like Jesus. It doesn't say that. Though, with all that's going on in our world today, with artificial insemination, there is no telling what could happen. And so I'm not going to go there. But in Revelation chapter 17, I know this. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Revelation 17 in verse number 8. Now, you do know that according to Revelation chapter 17, that the Antichrist, like Christ, will have a bride, right? And we find about who her bride is, right? She's a mother, if you look at verse number 8, of harlots. The bride of Christ is pure and chaste. But the bride of the Antichrist is the mother, in verse number 17, of harlots and abomination of the earth. In verse number 8 it says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." I find that interesting. That when the Bible talks about Judas going to his own place, and then when the beast comes to the earth, it's going to ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, that they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is." He was alive. He was not dead, and yet is. He's resurrected. Why? Because this man of sin is real. And he's going to mimic everything that Christ does. And he's going to get the worship of people. And many people will believe his lie and wonders. And they'll follow him headlong. Do you know the Bible says that children will betray their parents at this man's word? Now you listen to me. It's in this book right here. And if it's in this book, it's going to happen. Many are going to believe his lie. Study your Bible. Teach your children the Bible. Serve God with your life. Don't just go through the motions. There are so many in our day that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Don't put your children at that risk. Please, I beg you, don't do it. No. I was talking with our Sunday school class, and I want you to look right up this way, and I'm going to say something to offend you before I dismiss tonight. I was talking with our Sunday school class this morning. I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to listen to me very carefully here, okay? You have one of those? Be careful. Be careful. You know, an 8-year-old... 6-year-old, 10-year-old can pull up about anything they want to on one of those. You'd be amazed what's accessible on one of these. Amazed. I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, "Hey, I found something interesting, found an interesting teaching on the internet." Whoa, be careful about that. Be careful about that. Parents, if you do not have parental guards on these for your children, you're messing up. I think if your children has one, you're messing up. But if I can't run your life or your business. But you please hear me now. You better put some restrictions and guidelines on these things. There's things that would make your heart sink right here. Brother David was telling me of the multi-billions and billions of dollars that has gone into a certain industry that I'll not call the name of, but I think most of you know, right here, it's accessible to your children. It's accessible to them. Just as filthy and disgusting as you could imagine. Right here. Right here. You better watch now. You better set some guidelines on this right here. Don't get so into this that you can't spend time with your family. Mama, when your children come up to you, "I hope you're not doing this." "Yeah, okay, honey, go ahead." "All right, well, I'll get to it in a minute now." I hope that's not the way it is. take this thing if you have to and throw it across the room and spend some time with them babies. They need you to invest in their life. This thing will get a grip on your life like nothing else. It's become addictive to people. Oh, preacher, I'm not addicted. Yeah, I know. People's not deceived and people's not crazy. I understand all of that. Okay, been there, done that. I know about that. I counsel with people all the time. Every crazy person I've ever sat across the desk from said everybody else was crazy. And I'm there praying, God, get me out of here safe. Yeah, to crazy people, everyone else is crazy. To deceived people, everyone else is deceived. To addicted people, everyone else is addicted. Oh, I got this. I'm not addicted to that. Could quit any time. Yeah, I know. I know about that. This thing right here will get you. Preacher, I just don't have enough time today to get it done. Maybe you set aside this, you might get it done. You say, you against cell phones? Nope. Cell phone cannot destroy your life no more than a gun by itself can kill a person. I'm just asking you not to allow it to happen. Okay? Would you sit down and have a meaningful conversation with your family about cell phone usage, social media? Would you have an open conversation and communicate to your family the importance of family time, Bible reading, serving and worshiping God together? We're living in the last days. And deceit and deceitfulness is spreading across our country like wildfire. And when people have their heads down, I've often wondered why the Bible always says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I wonder if it's because of this. Oh, preacher, all this stuff is just theory and hypotheses. Maybe. I know this. And I'm going to throw this one in for nothing. You can stand to your feet. Ladies and young ladies, look right up here at the preacher. I think God has given us some of the finest ladies and young ladies on the face of the earth. And I mean that or I wouldn't say it. But I've been reading about how ladies and young ladies are being violated, apprehended, abducted. And it's because there's people sitting in parking areas watching. And as they go in, they're like this. And as they come out, they're like this. And they're hanging in the wing in the darkness so that they can get you and it's done. When you're walking in a place, put this away. When you're in a place, put this away. And when you're going back to your vehicle, and I'm saying this for your safety because I don't want anything to happen to any of our ladies and young ladies here. Please listen to me. I know this is a church and I've tried to preach God's Word as He's laid on my heart, but this is just some good counsel that I'm giving you as your pastor. I care about you. And I do not want something as monstrous as happened to some folks in the past that happened right here in our own church family. Don't walk with your head down. When you're driving, don't text. Hear me now. It can wait. It's tempting. You say, how you know, preacher? Because I've been tempted myself. It's tempting. So be cautious, all right? Don't be deceived. Stay in the Bible. Stay on your knees. Brother Don Lowry was telling me as we came in tonight that he heard old Dr. Tom Williams. And Dr. Williams, what a man of God. 82 years old. I didn't realize he was still preaching. Still preaching. You know who Dr. Tom Williams is, don't you? What a man of God. What a man of God. And he said he made a statement over the Thanksgiving holiday when Brother Don was there visiting with his daughter up in Indiana. He said he made a statement that prayer is one of the most important things that a Christian can exercise. And that's prayer. Let's bow our heads. I know the thoughts have been scattered. I understand that. But I said some things that God laid on my heart tonight. Jesus is coming. But there's an Antichrist coming too. And the spirit of iniquity doth already work. There's a lawlessness in our land. And there's a loss of focus, and there are just people that are caught up and tied up in everything. And can I tell you that we're in the time of the year when people will get more so caught up in it. All the while saying, Jesus is the reason of the season, and yet they do nothing to magnify and glorify Jesus. Isn't that something? That's deceit, brethren. That's being deceived. Just because we say something doesn't make it so. I'm going to ask the pianist to come to the piano just for a moment and play. And as she does, I wish that some of our dads would step up and take their family, take your wife and your children, and just gather around the altar and say, you know what? We're going to do what the pastor suggested tonight. We're going to have meaningful conversation and open lines of communication about reading the Bible and living for Jesus and serving God with our lives. We're not going to just go through each day and rush through it and not take into account that every day matters. Every day counts. This could be our last day. This Sunday could kick off our last week. I don't know. You say, well, preacher, you can't prove that, and you can't prove that it's not so. So I want to challenge and encourage you, please. Please. Be aware. You have lost loved ones? What I read to you tonight from 2 Thessalonians is coming to pass, brethren. People who reject Jesus are going to die in their sin and go to hell. They are. If it's your brother, your sister, my cousin, my nephew, if it's a family member, we need to get a burden for them. We need to understand that if they die without Christ, they will die in their sin and go to hell. You don't want that. It's time to wake up and realize this is real. And as we think about Jesus' first coming the next couple of weeks, God help us not to forget the rest of the story. And remember, He's coming again. And when He does, He's going to set in motion some of the things we talked about tonight. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that God spoke to your heart as a lost person. And God showed you you're not saved. Would you trust Jesus tonight? Anyone like that? Preacher, I'm not saved. God has shown me that, and I realize I need to be saved, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Could I see your hand tonight? Anyone like that? Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. I won't come to you nor embarrass you. I want to help you. I want you to be saved. It's very, very important that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. It's the only way to heaven. The only way. Pastor BJ, your daughter there, Pastor BJ, God bless you, young lady. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to spend time in your Word. Forgive us when we hurry through your Word and when we set aside your Word and other things become more important to us. God, please forgive us. Help us to take your work very serious. Help me as a pastor to take the work that you've called me to, the ministry that you've given me, very serious. The ministry to the people of Fellowship Baptist Church and the community in which you've planted this church. God, help us to realize that except we tell the people in our community, they may never hear. And I pray that we would not have their blood on our hands, but we would speak to warn the wicked man of his way. Help us to warn that in that day, their blood will not be upon our hands. God, give us a fresh burden for souls. Help us to realize that we're living in the last days, the days just prior to your soon return. In these days, I pray that while many are speaking of the first coming, that we will remind them of the rest of the story and tell them that they need to prepare their heart, as we all do, for your second coming. I pray for every family that makes up Fellowship Baptist Church, our visitors, our friends. God, would you help our families? Help us to have that conversation. Open, honest conversation about serving you and about distractions in life and about things that become habit-forming and things that grab our attention and will not let go. It's of the spirit of Antichrist. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to break free, to serve you with purpose. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray. God, I pray your hand will stay upon this church, this ministry. I pray the power of God would be known here, that many, many people would be saved as a direct result of the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church. May Fellowship Baptist Church be a beacon of light in this and surrounding communities and throughout the world through worldwide evangelism. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us, in Jesus' name. Amen.